Welcome to Ohtani Comes to America, a show about the GOAT baseball player, Shohei Ohtani. I'm Kev.
And I'm Jack.
Believe it or not, it's happened. Our prayers have been answered. The moment is here. A new era. Ohtani is no longer an angel.
It's weird to think about. Before we even get into the decision, we've been saying for so long, no disrespect to Angels fans necessarily, but the organization was a mess. We both have said we wanted him out of there, but until it happened, like, he could have re-signed with them. Until it happened, I couldn't feel the excitement of that or that it was actually a reality. But yeah, like you said, now we're here and it's happened and he's not even going that far, literally going up the freeway to the Dodgers, staying in LA.
That is just wild to think about. Again, the moment has come. It's one of those things though, like for me, it's like, be careful what you wish for type of moment. Because yes, if you listen back or have heard any episode we've ever recorded, I probably mentioned, I kind of want Ohtani out of the Angels. And maybe you too. Like, a lot of people agree. Even some Angel fans. But to go to the Dodgers, bro. it's one of those where it hit me. I was on my hater mode when the news came out. I mean, that's never going to leave my body, but it's one of those things where, like, how you just mentioned about it not hitting you or, like, the possibility or, like, the outcome. It's going to really hit home once that, like, spring training hits. Mm-hmm. Or, like, once we see Ohtani with the white on white with the blue letters, that's going to be different.
Yeah, not just the mock-ups that are floating around that are Photoshopped, but him actually wearing it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know even where to start with this, but I guess Ohtani got what he wished for, which seemed like he wanted to stay in the West Coast. Looks like he likes California specifically, maybe even Southern California. We know that he's the In-N-Out guy, so he's going to still have the In-N-Out.
Yeah, I mean, even with his hometown in Japan, he's talked about how it gets so cold there in the winter and there's nothing to do and stuff. I think he does enjoy the year-round warmness, you know, compared to other places of Southern California. And I think it's also just the comfort of being there where, you know, there'll be some shift in lifestyle for sure, but he mostly knows what it's like, and it's not too big a change. But the things he's changing are, I mean, in terms of the organization, they're arguably all for the better, like better equipment, better personnel, better medical stuff, better nutrition, like all those things are undoubtedly better with the Dodgers, not to mention just building a better team. But at the same time, he gets to have this challenge of really going for the World Series and trying to win that. And also there's pressure that comes with playing for the Dodgers and signing this massive contract. Like, there's still things he has to live up to. He's not just settling and trying to do the most comfortable out of the spotlight thing possible. This is still a big step, but it pairs with the comfort of being in LA.
Have we even mentioned it yet, the actual contract, at least what we know of the contract?
Not yet, and that's a huge part of it, because we've been talking for recent episodes about how with the injury news at the end of the season and him getting the elbow repair surgery, essentially like a hybrid Tommy John, that damn, like, we were about to see the craziest contract ever. Now he's probably going to lose a bunch of money. You know, people were speculating, oh, will he even get to $500 million? And then the conversation at the top of this month went to, oh, he'll definitely pass 500, maybe even get up to 600. But no one threw out the final number, which was 700 million for 10 years, which is just crazy to say out loud.
Insane. Surpassed what everyone was thinking. I wasn't thinking 700. I mean, I think we all maybe even mentioned it before, but that was when, you know, there wasn't the injury and all that good stuff. Who knows what that number could have been. But then, yeah, after the injury, like, we had those conversations. Obviously more than Judge and Mike Trout and stuff, but, like, how far more? 700, 10 years, you're, like, committing for the long run. And you can even look at it the other way around. Like, 700, you could have possibly even gotten, like, 12 years out of Ohtani. Like, we saw what was Bryce Harper's 13 years, 3-something, but from both ends, for like Ohtani and for the Dodgers to commit in the way that they did, it was like mind-blowing. Me and the people around me, the people I've been chatting with, is like one of those, like, no fucking way, like, this actually happened. Like, this, we could just say it here, it's the biggest contract in sports history, I believe.
Yeah, which is insane. Yeah, for Mike Trout's deal, that was $426 million over 12 years. This is less years and not far off from double the value. And, you know, there's this discussion usually in free agency for baseball around when one player gets a certain amount, it raises the bar for everyone. But Ohtani is also such a crazy outlier in that because, one, he's a two-way player, which there's not really even any average or decent middling two-way players around. And he's doing it at the top of his game on both sides. So you have the baseball player part, which is already arguably, you know, doubling the contract to a degree. And then aside from that, which I think is a huge, huge part of this deal, the business around Ohtani as a person, like the amount of people he draws to come to the stadium to watch on TV around the world, especially in Japan, the advertisements, like we saw at Angel Stadium, there always being tons of Japanese advertisements for the most random stuff. It could be cat food, it could be anything. And then you look at also jersey sales, and there's so many ways that the Dodgers brand and Ohtani's brand combine to just inflate to a whole new level that I think they know what they're doing. And I don't even think this number with how much they're going to bring in from him over the years is that crazy. Like, it might even be an underpay, which is insane to say, but people are talking about how ridiculous the contract is and all that. No, I think this actually, if you're strictly looking at it as what someone is worth, and, you know, the whole discussion on how much money athletes make, that's a separate topic. If we're just talking about straight value, I feel like this contract makes sense to me. Obviously, I don't have the exact figures on how much money he will bring in, and no one can estimate that exactly, but I'm sure the Dodgers aren't like, oh yeah, you know, we'll just do it and we don't know if it'll pay back. I think they have pretty good sense there.
I don't even see the scenario and where the Dodgers take a loss on this contract. If anything, I mean, obviously, we're no experts here, but I would say that probably within like half the time, so I'll say like in 5 years of the contract, the Dodgers will probably make that money with all those outside revenues, ads, jerseys, ticket sales. Not that they were already struggling with ticket sales. It's not the Tampa Bay Rays or Angels or anything like that, but I would assume that, yeah, within 5-6 years, they probably have that 700 mil easily just cashed out. So yeah, it's one of those things where like you can't look at this contract as purely a player contract. As Ohtani's more than a player. He's more than the GOAT. He's much bigger. And the Dodgers took a gamble and put all their money on it, put all their chips in, you know what I mean? But yeah, it's one of those things where like me outside of it, not being a Dodger fan, I'm gonna be honest, I really told everyone, I told you, I believe like this, it's a new face for Ohtani, but it's also a new face for me. This is, my life has officially changed. I am first a Yankee fan, but second a Dodger hater. Just because they are that new baseball Death Star.
I mean, the Dodgers are like the West Coast Yankees, basically.
West Coast Yankees, but it's tough to say because the Yankees aren't even like, they're not the Yankees that the Death Star Yankees of the 90s. We're trying to be. Shout out Juan Soto. We can mention that. We have some possible W's in the future, you know. We're not just crying over here. I'm not hating just to hate.
Yeah, I mean, if they get Yamamoto, maybe, even though the Dodgers are still technically in on him too now.
It's one of those things that they're this Death Star team. They're disgusting. They're going to be good in every facet of the way. I mean, without Ohtani, they were always a borderline World Series favorite. I'd even go as far as to say that they're going to have more hate than like the Astros do these upcoming years.
With the Dodgers, a big part of how their team is going to look going forward is a big piece of the contract with Ohtani where, you know, 700 mil over 10 years, you do the average annual value, that comes out to 70 million a year. But it soon came out after that a good portion of the money is going to be deferred, which means it's not going to be paid exactly over those 10 years. There'll be some that'll be paid in the years that happen after. So once Ohtani's time playing with the Dodgers is done, he'll still be getting paid. We've seen this with other players before. Most famous is Bobby Bonilla, which got pushed back way further and still to this day. And we don't have all the details on that yet, but essentially, This was supposedly Ohtani's idea, and the intention of it is for the Dodgers to still make a bunch of other moves, because you have the luxury tax in baseball where if you go over a certain amount, then any extra spending has a bigger tax on it. Teams try to avoid that, blah, blah, blah. In terms of the Dodgers, like you said, they've always been consistently great team. Past 11 years, they've won the division 10 of those times. And at the same time in the playoffs, they've always had trouble one way or the other. And they've only won in 2020, the shortened season due to COVID. Even that championship, people say, oh, it's a Mickey Mouse chip, like, doesn't count, it's fake. Dodgers haven't won a real World Series, you know, in this run in the past decade. And it kind of felt like this was the only move the Dodgers could make, one, to change the narrative around the team, because they put together good teams but can't get it done. But two, just in itself, actually, I can't think of another signing that would have a real shot of changing that, of pushing them over the edge, besides Ohtani.
I would just say Ohtani's a little toxic for that one. It's a little dagger to every other fan or anyone that thinks they have a shot in that division. It's like, boom, yeah, they got Ohtani, but also me, Ohtani, I want them to like not give me as much money so that we can keep getting better as a team. It's like, God damn. If you're the Diamondbacks, if you're anyone, the Giants, let's sit back, rebuild for the next 10 years so that we can have a successful 2032 season. And it sucks for any fan in that division. Or like, you're pretty much playing for wild card after something like that. As a new Dodger hater, that hurt me too. I was like, damn, Tani would do that. It's smart as hell. He's trying to win. I can't take that away from him, but it sucks. But again, you know, we're Ohtani fans, but we're Yankee fans at heart. And the Dodgers having more money to spend means possible players that the Yankees don't get. So it's one of these things where, like, in a way, it can hurt us. But for the next 10 seconds, I'll take my hater glasses off and I'll say, this is an insane moment to be a Dodger fan. Like, things are looking so bright. You have the best player, MVP winner, potential Cy Young winner. But then you also have the players that got the second and third place votes in the MVP voting for like the NL side. So now you have like three MVPs on your team back to back to back. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, think about an opposing team coming in and every game, first inning, you face in the lineup Mookie Betts, Ohtani, and Freddie Freeman. Like, that's insane.
It's ridiculous. So yeah, like that whole thing with the contract, the deferred money, super smart, brilliant. If anything, could be like one of the more crucial details in the contract, that thing of deferred money, because It really gives the Dodgers a chance. Because Ohtani takes them way over the edge, but they still need a few little pieces and things. But that room to possibly grow or fix things could easily be the cherry on top. If you're a Dodger fan, you got to be, I mean, on cloud 9, 10, 11, 12. Like, you're out of this world right now, so... Wait up, that's me getting my glasses, putting my hater glasses back on, because it's insane.
The Dodgers definitely have gaps to fill, especially in their pitching rotation, but this gives them that flexibility, so we'll see what else they do this winter. And I do think you'll still have a lot of people who root for Ohtani individually, but you can eliminate all the NL West people from that. You know, Giants fans, Padres fans, etc., saying like, damn, now I gotta hate this dude for the next 10 years. Same thing with Angels fans who feel like he's a traitor or betrayed them. You know, I definitely get if Angels fans are bummed that he went to the Dodgers out of all teams, just because Dodgers fans definitely will rub it in your face. But to say he's like a traitor or something is insane. The Angels, a lot of people were rooting for them just because of Ohtani, or Ohtani and Trout, and they're more of an underdog team in that way. But it will be interesting to see like all the online Ohtani fans switch to rooting for the Dodgers and how that'll go exactly.
Many fans are struggling with their feelings right now, including me. I do want to be clear. I did say I'm a Dodger hater, and that's purely a Dodger hater. Like, if it's up to me, Ohtani gets MVP every season, but they don't win the chip. I do want him to like get one day, but I'm cool if that's like the season after or two season after the Yankees get theirs. Then I'm, you know, that's like a, we'll shake on that. Boom. After the Yankees get their chip, give one to Ohtani. Because Ohtani shouldn't have haters. This is something where, one, it's the right move for his career. He's trying to win. Money talks. Like, who's going to shut down 700? This is something where, like, I don't know. You could feel however you feel, but this is not really... You don't really hate Ohtani. You're probably hating your team. Like, we get it. He's making more than, like, all of Athletics, Tampa Bay, Cleveland. But yeah, he's making more than a couple rosters in the majors, which is insane. But again, it's not his problem.
One thing we should talk about, too, as part of this is just how it went down. Because Ohtani posted about the announcement on his Instagram on Saturday, like the most random time, not even during the weekday where, you know, you get the most press and all these things. He said, nah, you know what? I'm just going to do it on the weekend. And even posting it himself comes after, you know, this very secret free agent process where it was reported that if teams like said too much information, things got out about them meeting with Ohtani, that it would be held against them. And we didn't really hear a lot during the process. Really, it wasn't until this past week that some stuff started to come out, like possibly who was narrowed down to and all these things, and that he checked out the Blue Jays facility and flew to SF to meet with the Giants. And I don't know if those were fully confirmed, but there was a lot going on out there. And then during winter meetings at the top of the week, which is baseball's like annual event for trades and announcements and different things, Dave Roberts, the manager of the Dodgers, was asked about it, and he said, like, yeah, we met with Ohtani, think it went well, Shohei is our top priority. And then people were like, oh my god, he spoke out. And even the Dodgers GM, like, a few hours later was like, yeah, I don't know why he commented on it, I'm not going to say anything at this time. And it was like this whole weird thing, and then reporters and journalists were being angry because they couldn't get any info, and were criticizing him, like, this is not how the biggest stars should go about their free agency. They were acting entitled and selfish just because they weren't getting any info that they're used to. And even Ken Rosenthal was like, yeah, I understand in Japan, like, this is the culture and I get that and I respect it, of course. And then the next sentence, he's like, but, you know, basically saying it's still bad. And clearly you don't have that respect for him. But look at what that led to. No info, and then Ohtani drops the Instagram post. So I feel like that said a lot in itself about Ohtani wanting to keep his privacy and doing things his way and on his own. And then kind of in pairing with that too, Ohtani being this private, some say mysterious person, I mean, I think he's like the Frank Ocean of baseball in a way where the quieter he is, the more he doesn't reveal, builds up more desire for the hype around him. And that kind of went to like a new peak on Friday, the day before he announced it, when there were all these rumors about him going to Toronto, that he was going to sign with the Blue Jays. And there were like 4,000 people tracking a flight that was going from Anaheim to Toronto. Turned out to be this guy from Shark Tank who was on the flight. And all these things where... Like John Morosi, who had reported the Aaron Judge news first last year, he had said decision was imminent, and then he had said Ohtani was going to Toronto on a flight, and all this stuff that turned out to be, none of it was true. Ohtani was in SoCal the whole time. It was a huge thing. And then in an article that Tom Verducci did for Sports Illustrated, he said that Friday night, Dodgers executives didn't know this was fake, or that didn't have anything behind it, and they got nervous, and I think it did actually drive the price up for the end. I think it helped reach that 700 mil mark.
I don't know what to think about the whole thing. Again, it got super weird in so many different ways. I've heard teams do this all the time. They'll like drop rumors themselves, give some insider news, or try to nudge like a reporter, yo, say this, like say that. Up to the reporter to take that leap of faith or not. It could be misinformation, it could be good information, but they don't know. You want that inside scoop, like you're gonna post it. And that's kind of what it felt like with this whole like Blue Jays, the flight thing. It's almost like the whole thing, the whole time felt like a reach. Like all of a sudden everyone was freaking Sherlock Holmes, like figuring out, oh yeah, let me map this flight out. It has to be Ohtani. It's the plane style or model that like he usually flies in when he flies. And it's like, bro, like you hear things and you kind of want to make them true. It's one of those things where like, yeah, you don't know whether to believe or not, but then almost made sense. Cause even I was like, damn, like this could be true. Like there's some dots and some points here, but I don't know. And it gets just weird. So what I'm trying to get to is that like, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know that it will ever come out, but like if, who knows, a year from now or something comes out where like, yeah, this was actually like a Dodger executive that like gave the intel to drop that info. Maybe a hater team.
Well, I think it was more likely from his agent, because the guy who was on the flight is part of CAA, who his agency is from. So I don't think that's a crazy conspiracy.
Yeah, I mean, that is the most likely person that would do it. The agent gives him a little elbow touch. Boom, boom. Yo, Otani, 600's not enough. I got you. Give me 5 hours. We're going to fabricate something. And like you make things like that happen. And then, you know, it's kind of up to you, the organization, to say, damn, do we bite? It's literally like a game of poker. Like, do we bite? Do we increase that pay? Or do we like, you know, stand our ground and like hope he still takes the 609-year offer, whatever it is, you know? But yeah, still, it's like this weird, ugly part of the game that it's not the neatest, but it's how it's done. It's how it's been for I don't know how long. And the whole thing with the journalists and the reporters and the Ken Rosenthal is like, come on, don't be mad because it's like a slow news day type thing. It sucks to see because some of them are cool and give like good news, or they're just people we've like seen since we can remember, like since we were in middle school or high school or following baseball, and they're like talking like this about the GOAT, just getting like shitty opinions out. It sucks. And then for the Blue Jays, man, it's just tough to be a Blue Jays fan at the moment.
Down bad.
How do you even feel? It just looked like you were about to get the greatest baseball player we've ever seen. And then you go to just having your good old regular team and not getting anyone or anything out of it. Super messy. Shout out Shohei for holding it down, taking charge of it, taking control of it, getting ahead of it, releasing the info himself. It was like a bang. Like you said, Frank Ocean, like Beyonce, like, you know, like we never even heard that she was dropping an album, but boom, here we are. That's kind of how it was. We were having conversations like on the side and we're like, oh, I don't know when it'll happen. Like it's either like today, tomorrow, or like in 3 months. Like there was no idea of how it was going to happen. And yeah, usually hear the rumors with the reporters, which is why Ken was mad and shit. But it wasn't like that this time. He kind of switched it up on us and I like it. At least from like the big players, you know, the Sotos, the Coles, and like name them. I would like if in the future it continues to be like this. They are the ones that drop the info when they're ready. It's cool. It makes it more official than like hearing rumors for 3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're in a day and age where we've seen the progression of that, even with just athletes alone, where the Players Tribune that Derek Jeter started to give players a voice to write their own articles and spread their own stories, to even just, you know, players having their own social media, like Otani used in this case, and that being a way to get their own messages out there. There's so many different ways that can go, but at the very core of it, just having it as a way to talk to your fans directly, I mean, even talk to the whole baseball world directly, I think that's a good power to have in the players' hands. And I think also Otani is a unique player just in general. So why would you expect a typical free agency? And instead of reporters being mad that it's not going the usual way and they can't get the info, to me, you should see that as an opportunity to cover it in a totally different way. And there's so much room for how you can talk about it. It's not only about the details surrounding it. It's like a lack of creativity even in how you tell stories. So I think that all was just dumb and made them look bad. And with the Blue Jays stuff, the whole country of Canada, I don't even know if they ever truly believed it, but still to be kind of deked out like that by the reporters and the rumors going around definitely sucks. We had talked last episode about doing one at some point where we explored all the potential teams and stuff, and I think that'll be a good future episode. So I think we can save that even for any more Blue Jays discussion. But one part of that I want to hit on when we do that, and that we can just touch on here briefly with the Dodgers is even just from a pure aesthetic level, pure visual level, how are you feeling about the switch? Pretty big contrast of Ohtani going from the red of the Angels to the blue of the Dodgers.
It's literally like a polar opposite switch from red to blue. I think blue is more of an angel color than red, if I'm being honest. It looks good. One of the mock-ups, the uniform looks good. He looks good in blue. I mean, he didn't look bad on the Angels color too, but that white on white with the blue Dodgers, I mean, it's a classic uniform. Like, I'm a fan of it. Almost has that like level, that look of like the Yankees pinstripes. Like, I see it as very similar when it comes to like how iconic it looks in terms of like just baseball uniforms of all time. Weird, because I said like the blue is more of an angel color than the red, but the Death Star is more of a red color, which is where he went to. It's almost like it should be flip-flop, but turns the page. It's an easy, good, aesthetic look.
It definitely helps with the whole new era narrative, to say the least.
We know how I feel, official Dodger hater and stuff, but what about you? Are you excited? Are you looking forward to something in particular with Ohtani and the Dodgers, or maybe the opposite of it? Like, are you not looking forward to something?
I would say that for me, this was mostly expected in terms of the team decision, because the Dodgers have been pretty much favorites all along, even though it was for sure not set in stone or anything. But it just made the most sense, like almost too much sense, where even we were talking and having side conversations around like something seems maybe off, like could there be a surprise decision here and etc. But even all the Blue Jays stuff, which I did not want him going there because it meant they'd be in the division with the Yankees. Not a fan of the Blue Jays just because I feel like they talk so much and don't back it up. But also it would mean that the Dodgers had more money to spend, which would not be good for the Yankees or frankly any other big market team. And really I couldn't see him going anywhere else. Like the Giants to me are kind of a mess as an organization at this point. There's not much there to build around him either. The Cubs maybe would have been interesting with Wrigley and stuff, but again, we can explore this all later in another episode. Never really considered him coming to the Yankees. I didn't think that was going to happen. So I wouldn't say I'm a Dodger hater in the same way you are, but I also haven't really rooted for them because they are kind of always that stacked team, but there weren't any players I was really drawn to or anything. And even between the LA teams, I was on board with the Angels because of Ohtani, even though I didn't like the organization. And so now I feel like I'm an Ohtani fan more than anything else in terms of outside of the Yankees. And so I feel like I can put my Dodger hate to the side somewhat and just be excited for him as like a winning place to play. More than anything, I want to see him get a chip. And to your point, of course, I want the Yankees to get one first. But if Ohtani and the Dodgers are playing anyone besides the Yankees in the World Series, I'm going to root for him to get the ring. And I think this sets him up in the best way possible from the World Series chances to just, again, still being able to keep his more comfortable SoCal lifestyle. So I think it makes all the sense in the world, and happy he got his bag, happy that the injury didn't really affect it too much, and still the highest contract in sports history. So overall, can't really complain. And I do like the aesthetic switch to the blue. Think he's going to look good in that uniform for sure. So I think it'll be good for him.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're an Ohtani fan or a Dodger fan, this is an A1++ 100% move. And if you're a fan of anything else, especially if you're in the NL West or a team that had a chance at Ohtani, then you probably hate it. But it panned out. It works in both ends for both parties. Like, shouldn't be mad. I'm being a hater because it's in my nature. It's in my blood. You know what I mean? But yeah, super happy for Ohtani. Not so happy for the Dodgers. Should be a very fun next season. Tune in for, again, some future episodes. We'll get into a bunch of other stuff. You already know the usual predictions and the good, the bad, the ugly, all that good stuff.
And yeah, if you're not subscribed or if you're a new Dodgers fan who wants to keep up with Ohtani, we have a newsletter as well. We'll put the link in the description, but it's OhtaniComesToAmerica.substack.com. And that also has a recap of everything that happened with this signing and free agency and the crazy stuff leading up to it.
But that wraps it up for this episode of Ohtani Comes to America. I'm Kev. You can find me at Same Old Kev pretty much everywhere.
And I'm Jack. You can find me at Jack Bloom Summer, Summer with an O, on everything.
This is usually where we throw in them AKAs, but it's a new world and we're going to need some new AKAs, so tune in for those soon.